Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted on Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Miami and the Jets were underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield and down the sideline he goes. This is storybook, an opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
I hope you're feeling ready, Buffalo. Not that you're not. How dismissive of me to even assume. Everyone's ready.
Everyone is.
Everyone's ready to go. Jim Nantz, by the way, will be calling his 500th?
Yep, 500th career game.
500th
NFL
career
game
in the with the NFL.
Yeah. I saw that tweet.
That'll
from
be fascinating. That it's going to be the Bills and Broncos. And hopefully Buffalo can add a little bit more juice to it for Mr. Nantz and one Tony Romo, as that'll be the call for the CBS broadcast team. But more importantly, the Bills and the Broncos, it will kick off Buffalo's postseason, hopefully an extended stay within the playoff bracket for 2025. 803-0550 is the number to call, as we will get connected with our fans. As always, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Dominic and Clarence. Dominic, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon.
Love the show, guys. Long time, first time. And I wish you guys were on the weekdays, man. I would listen every single day if you guys were on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So Steelers fan here, living in Buffalo. Well, grew up in Buffalo. I live in Vegas now, but I'm back visiting still from the holidays. And I'm just nervous about tonight, guys. I don't know. I think if we blow it, I think Tomlin, I think we need a new coach. I think we need a new quarterback. I don't think Russ is getting it done. And I'll tell you this. When I go to a Steelers backer bar, we have the same saying for Tomlin for the past 10 years. We call him Mr. Status Quo. Because it's first and done, first round done, and I don't think we're gonna beat the Ravens. I hope we do, but even if we beat them, I just don't see us going much farther. And I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst. I'll shut up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Dominic, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And well, obviously, you'll probably have this city in your corner here tonight for Ravens and Steelers. When it comes to Tomlin, by the way, Like, when people will say to me, just off-air conversations with friends or something, like, oh, Mike Tomlin's absolutely a top-10 coach in the National Football League. And I'm like, no, he ain't.
Yeah, no.
That man has not seen a punting opportunity that he would bypass.
And that's, like, I think I said something earlier in the show, Super Bowl.
Jeremy pointed out, like, how cowardly Tomlin has a tendency to be with, like, fourth down situations. And that really opened my eyes to it. So when Jeremy brought it up, and now I'm pretty much just as strong with him on this one, that, like, I do not respect Mike Tomlin as a head coach at all. Like, people will be like, oh, Tomlin and McDermott cut from the same cloth. No, they're not. Not even close. Mike Tomlin is a very conservative coach. He is very cautious. He is the best thing that I can give him credit for is maintaining a locker room with the personalities of Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown for the amount of time that he did before everything came coming to a crashing, grinding halt in 2019.
Yeah.
That is the biggest credit to Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely.
Because all three of those players had egos the sizes of mountains. Like, Roethlisberger included, like, he would have that weekly radio show and he would rip teammates on air.
Yeah.
Like how we bash Aaron Rodgers for it. Roethlisberger did it first. So in order to have a locker room like that and still be able to win and you know, status quo, as Dominic had called in about, but, like, no, like, I have zero respect for Mike Tomlin at this point of, like, the success that he has.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he doesn't have a losing season. He's also not great. You know what that makes him? Mid. The Steelers are not an extraordinary team anymore.
Not by any
means. They're middling. And Mike Tomlin is a middling coach.
Yeah.
That said, Mr. Mid, go get it done tonight?
Please? Question mark?
Please?
Bees? Yeah.
My favorite Cards Against Humanity card. Bees?
Let's smelt.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the Steelers. I'm rooting for Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson tonight.
You know what? It would be like Russ, though.
Broncos country, let's ride.
You're a son of a bleep. I said for you to have that ready today.
He did.
I didn't expect it there.
He had it.
I get what I asked for. Ugh. That's what I get.
Yeah.
That's what I get.
I mean,
like I said, mostly serious today. Mostly serious. But you know what? I feel like Dominic's call, though, is a better time. There's no better time than now to get some of that NFL music.
Yes.
And go through the rest of the playoff brackets.
Exciting about this.
Yes.
Yeah. This is
a great time to do that. I think that if there is a time to do it, let's do it now.
Let's cook, baby.
Gotta let the crescendo hit. And here we go. Starting at 4:30, we've got the Texans and the Chargers. Texans coming in wounded. They are a team that really has been reeling since the second half of the season was going on. And wounded in the sense of injuries to several of their wide receivers throughout the course of the year. Tank Dell, obviously, with that horrifying one. Stephon Diggs he's lost to injury for the year because of the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they never got that trio together of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell outside of week one? And they looked fantastic.
Yep.
When that happened.
The titular trio was no more after that.
CJ Stroud having himself a struggle of a sophomore campaign. It has not been the follow-up that Texans fans and even the national media were expecting out of Houston to date. And again, another showing of progression is not linear. The other thing, the offensive line. They have not been doing a good job protecting Stroud this year.
They couldn't stop a bloody nose.
And unfortunately, it allows for Stroud to get smacked around here. He's been sacked 52 times this year.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Like, for one guy to go through that, it reminds me of Joe Burrow a few years back when the Bengals' offensive line was terrible. And funnily enough, that would be a Super Bowl season.
Yeah. As for the Chargers, they're a team that I don't necessarily like for style points.
No.
Greg Roman, once again, kills all things that are fun.
Yep. It's just the stereotypical offense, like, hey, let's pound the rock and then we'll do a pass. Like, it's just nothing.
But even then, they weren't as run heavy as you would expect them to be.
No.
When it comes to statistically, J.K. Dobbins, he did get banged up a little bit this year. Ends up with 900 yards on the season. I'm still thinking, though, that like if the Chargers want to win, they do it in a way with a sound defense, and they try to like really drag you down into the mud with them. That said, their last three games, they've ripped up the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So they're coming in hot. The Texans are coming in reeling.
Yeah, I'd hammer the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers are probably your favorites in this one for good reason, and it is for a multitude of reasons. It's unfortunate to see Houston like this, but again, anytime that there has been a challenge, even the game that they won against Buffalo, that was a game where both teams were trying to lose.
Yeah.
Outside of that game, the Texans did not win against a playoff-bound opponent this year.
No. And that was a coaching disaster from both sides of the football to end that game. That was just
exactly.
It unraveled
both
completely.
Both teams tried to hand the other the win.
Yes. Yeah. It was bad.
Quite frankly.
It was not good.
Ravens and Steelers tonight, I was just mentioning it. I don't necessarily love Mike Tomlin as a head coach. I think he's meh. Russell Wilson is meh.
And they're the epitome of mediocre. And a lot like, that's of just what it is.
And a lot of Bills fit. And this is how you get the 6th seed. Mm-hmm. Or the 7th seed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or just missing the playoffs at 9-8.
Yeah. But you know what? They've all been over 500 seasons.
They've all been over 500. But you're looking at, you're looking at mediocrity incarnate. On the road against the Steelers or against the Ravens here. This should be a game that the Ravens run away.
Should be. But divisional opponent, third divisional, time in the season.
Divisional games get weird. That as evidenced by Bills-Patriots a couple weeks ago.
Bills-Jets with the Hail Mary earlier in the season. Like, just things happen.
Bills-Dolphins the second time around.
Yeah, but the first time was a blowout. Like, it was just...
All the, and not to mention the two games between the Ravens and the Steelers were both tightly contested all throughout. And the only reason that that score of the second game was by two scores was because Russell Wilson threw a pick six trying to get them back to a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So...
They divisional beat them games, in the season, too.
Divisional games can get screwy. They have a tendency to get screwy.
I'm taking the Steelers.
I'm going to pick the Ravens here, but I'm doing it on purpose.
Reverse psychology?
I'm picking the Ravens here. But it's also because it's probably the logical thing to do.
No, 100%.
They are the team that is better. And also, come on, let's be real here. If you don't want to at least try to get a swing back at Baltimore here, with all of the a certain discussion of an acronym I'm not mentioning anymore, there's your chance. Hopefully both teams do their part in order to get that matchup there. So if you as a Bills fan want a little get back, you kind of want the Ravens to win tonight.
It would be storybook to have the Ravens come here, right, and then go on to face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, defeat them, go on to the Super Bowl. But honestly, I get what you're saying. I'll take the path of least resistance if it comes down to it. Like, if the Steelers win, I am not complaining.
Exactly. So, but Buffalo does have to do their part, and they would be tomorrow, obviously kicking off the Sunday slate.
Mm-hmm.
But then, there's still only two games on Sunday.
That's right.
And a game on Monday night. The entirety of the NFC plays after the AFC. What do you feel about that?
I kind of like the split, but at the same time, I would like a little mix in.
I prefer a mix between the two conferences.
Change
over
of
that.
Pace, because the AFC games, the Chiefs aren't playing, of course, but like, I think the AFC is a little more competitive. So if you spread those out a little bit.
No, I'm looking at all three of these games in the NFC, and I'm loving all of them, actually.
Yeah. Starting, I guess I haven't like looked at it.
Starting with the Eagles and Packers, following Bills Broncos. These two teams begun the season in Brazil. One of them will end in Philly.
Yeah, when they both wore green, they weren't like supposed to, or whatever was going on there, that weird thing. Yeah.
But the big deal is, even in that game, Jordan Love gets hurt, but it was a tight game all the way through.
Malik Willis, very capable backup quarterback, comes in and does the job. He's done it all season for them.
But the Packers have been a very inconsistent team this year. Meanwhile, the Eagles, with the presence of a certain running back now this year in Saquon Barkley, have really been able to strengthen their offensive production, be a little bit more consistent. I do obviously think the Eagles win this game, and I do think they'll win a lot more convincingly than they did in week one of this season. I think it's based on the direction that the two teams have gone, and Jalen Hurts will be coming back his first game action since suffering a concussion against Washington. That'll be a big deal. Hopefully there's not a lot of rust factor there for the Eagles passer. Following that at night on Sunday night, I think this was smart by them, having Sunday night football probably be the matchup that like was probably the one that's going to draw the least in Buccaneers and Commanders.
Yeah.
I hope you like all of the points, like a Buffalo Rams
with
or
no
a Buffalo
defense.
Lions.
Yeah.
Because that's what this game is expected to be.
Hit the over. That's what I
would
do.
Hit the over on this game and enjoy it. Kick back Sunday night, watch the Buccaneers and Commanders try to outscore each other in...
Over or under 50.5, I would hit that.
Yes.
25 points per team, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Jaden Daniels, with his rookie campaign, has a chance to further cement how incredible it has been. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers getting themselves back the NFC South after plates were a little wobbly starting in week 15. A little bit of turbulence going on there. Yeah. Or I guess if I'm talking with Buccaneers, some waves crashing around the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they go ahead and claim it back. But not only that, they get the 3 seed. Instead of the 4.
Yeah, they're running like Jack Sparrow on the beach, man. Like, that's what they're doing into the playoffs at this point.
Yes, but with a little style and pizzazz, Baker Mayfield reviving his career in Tampa Bay has been a story to behold.
It's awesome when an organization actually gives you the keys and, like,
but
you know,
hey,
trust
the
you.
Browns won an adult at quarterback. No.
Who clearly doesn't know how to do his recovery properly
or
follow directions.
Or be a person.
Yeah, be a decent human being.
That too. Monday night, we have the Rams and the Vikings.
It's an interesting game.
LA and Minnesota, obviously the Vikings losing on Sunday night to the Lions drops them on the road to go and face the Rams. This is another game with a lot of offensive promise and potential because of the talent at wide receiver for both of these teams.
Yeah.
On the perimeter, on one side, you've got Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp with Kyren Williams there, Matthew Stafford dealing the ball. And on the other side, Sam Darnold, rejuvenated with Minnesota. Who is he throwing it to? Just the likes of Jordan Jefferson, or Justin Jefferson.
Jordan Addison. Yeah.
And TJ Hockenson.
And don't forget Aaron Jones in the backfield.
Aaron Jones in the backfield.
Like, this is a heavyweight bout.
This is, you know, this is some simple stuff. This is going to be another one of those. Hey, do you like points?
Do you like the over?
Do you like points? But the Rams have also been this weirdly inconsistent team offensively, even with the talent that they have.
Yeah. Buffalo was the best game of the season for them.
I would imagine, and it was, undoubtedly, actually. That said, I do think it's going to be a lower scoring. There's the potential we just mentioned. The star power is there. But the potential will not be met because these two teams do have some stout defensive play and a little bit of inconsistency on offense.
Yeah, you saw the inconsistency with Minnesota last week against the Lions compared to the week before where Darnold was hoisted in the locker room, had water thrown all over him.
Yeah.
Like, he had not slighting his season because he's had a phenomenal season, but both teams could be off or both teams could be on. You don't know what's going to happen.
There have been games where it has been pretty much that, where they're winning despite the offense. And Brian Flores, with that Minnesota defense, has done a good job.
Do you think they'll split the NFC and AFC, mix them up for the divisional games next week? Yeah.
Yeah,
they won't be a run of AFC and all that?
Well, then, because if that's the case, then the AFC plays Saturday, the NFC plays Sunday, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And that is probably not a good idea. They'll split it. You have to split it at that point.
Yeah.
And that's probably what we're looking at there.
It's an interesting playoff picture. There are some good matchups.
There's some great matchups here all around. I didn't really look
at the NFC hard.
It's honestly Ravens and Steelers. That's probably the most boring to me.
It's the most boring because, again, like you said, divisional matchup.
AFC North football sometimes can be peak
just
paint drying.
Like defense, like just watching a slow, low-scoring game. Yeah. Like, it's not...
AFC North football sometimes can be paint drying.
Yeah.
And
not the fun kind that'll make you see stuff like lead paint. This is the real stuff. Gotcha. Was that a bad joke?
I'm going to check to see if Joe's okay and if he's been poisoned or not. And we're going to come back on the other side, Sports Talk Saturday. More of it here, a half hour left. You're listening to WGR.
I feel like this team this year is in a different space than we were last year. I feel like last year we kind of peaked too early. I think we were like 5-6, and we just had to win every game to even make it a contest. So I think we kind of peaked maybe too early, and we couldn't just sustain it. This year, I think we kind of just playing ball, and we haven't peaked at all yet. We haven't played our best game, even on both sides. Like, our offense has put up 40 points, but they'll tell you that that wasn't their best game. Defense, we played a few weeks ago with 0 points going into the fourth quarter, and we would still say we didn't play our best game. So we just got to just put it together and find a way to all be on the same page at the same time and peak.
Bills cornerback Rasul Douglas as Buffalo takes on the Denver Broncos tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff. Pregame will start 7 a.m. right here on WGR, yours truly, with Breakfast with the Bills, and then Bills game day taking over from there. Countdown to kickoff, the round table, and then the game itself. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
I am too. I'm ready to watch meaningful football from the Bills again. Because like you said, yeah, they clinched the 2 seed, but we've known they're playoff bound for 2 months now.
2 whole months we knew that they were playoff bound, and officially, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was 6 or 7 weeks of being officially playoff bound.
Did you, I meant to ask you this in the top of the show, because it's like not totally on topic with the Bills, but it's NFL. Did you see the person who impersonated Ben Johnson and texted Caleb Williams saying, hey, keep this between you and me, but I got the job. And then FaceTimed Caleb Williams. He bought it, right?
People
got
to stop being weird.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. I thought, you know, the opening bant kind of got thrown out of the way with the MVP conversation, but like,
God, if I had a do-over.
Yeah. Head coach interview. They've just completed one with Ben Johnson an hour ago. So, like, that happened. That I just saw that, which made me think about what I originally wanted to say. Caleb Williams FaceTimes this kid, just starts dying laughing because it's just this 14-year-old kid in a hood on the other end of the FaceTime
call. At least
call.
He took that with a pretty good personality to it. But
It was the weirdest thing. It was like, you know, Caleb Williams responded, we're going to turn the ship around. Excited to have you on. Looking forward to all you can, blah, blah, blah. And it's just this 14-year-old kid impersonating Ben Johnson. But anyway, Bills Broncos.
But yes, we've known for a long time what this team was going to be doing, which was hosting a wild card game, being a high seed within the National Football League. And here we are.
The time is now.
And oddly enough, one of the things that we were always like marveling about with this Bills team is how their record is in December and January heading into the postseason. They actually lost a couple times, but overall 4-2 to close out.
Yeah.
They lost to LA in a game that was a spectacle, or at least it turned into a spectacle. It was looking like a blowout. Then it turned into a spectacle.
Yeah, they bit back towards the end, yeah.
And then they followed up with Detroit. And the team... Oh, my God. It's nuts to think that they put up 90 points in two games.
Yeah, it is. And looking at it, it's absolutely insane. And in those two games, Josh Allen did things that no one's done before.
And it also hurts that they gave up 86 points in two games.
Right. There's two sides to the coin, you know? Harvey Dent flipping the coin.
Yes. But they go 4-2 to end the year, which is kind of the same tracking point, especially because in that last game they had nothing to play for and they punted it away. So they lost one meaningful game in the stretch of December and January. So again, they come in hot, and now this time they come in healthy, which is a big deal considering where they were last year. Brandon Codrington is the only Bills player listed on the injury report. He's questionable officially for the game. By the way, bringing it up, the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Codrington, the only player questionable. Everyone's go. Everyone else is a go, officially.
Right. Not the same story you've seen from the Bills in the past.
Not even close to the same story, considering where you were last year.
Yeah.
And by the time you hit the divisional game, you're calling someone who was not playing football.
He's getting on a plane to go to Florida with his family.
And he had to start for you.
Playing mostly against Travis Kelce.
That's not an easy look.
No, that is not an easy look.
Everyone hates on A.J. Klein for it, but that's a tough job to ask.
And they were in the game.
Hey,
they were in the game.
Hey, you're basically retired. I need you to come back and go 1v1 against one of the best people that you can be competing against. Can you do it? Yeah. Let's go.
I mean,
like, if that's me in that situation, I'm asked, hey, you got to go 1v1 against someone, and they are better than you, and they've been playing all year, and they've been doing their job all year. You ready to go?
It's seriously, though.
You got to love the game. You got to love the game to do that.
It also is a credit to him.
It is a credit to him.
Because look at how that game was close. The defense didn't get blown out. He didn't get obliterated. I mean, there were some things. Don't get me wrong.
He did have some bad looks.
But it wasn't for a guy coming off the couch. I mean, what else do you expect?
They got beat exactly how they were going to get beat in that game, which was the depth was not just tested. It was exposed.
Yes.
It was worn down to a nub on the depth chart, and so much so that you had to call someone that was not playing for your organization that year and get him in last minute for this. And it's a tough look. It is. So for someone who's not on an active roster to make that adjustment and make that and take on that kind of challenge, that's not an easy thing to do. And now this year, it's the literal opposite. They are coming into the postseason absolutely as healthy as they can get. you are looking at a team, you are looking at a roster that I don't know how much better you can feel about the health of the team coming into this game.
Yeah.
And coming into the postseason overall. Obligatory knock on wood.
Knock on wood, yep.
Obligatory. Because that's the one thing that you also want. You want them to keep winning, but you also need them to keep advancing through as healthy as possible. That's it. You need to get them to break through, but it has to be. You need a little bit of the injury luck on your side now, too. There are going to be players that are going to play through injuries more in the playoffs or more likely to, dependent on severity, of course. But when it, especially with what happened to them last year, this is a big deal. This is a much bigger positive for you, for the Bills, for this roster. It's a much bigger positive, which means there are now also, on the other side of the coin, no excuses.
None.
I never like blaming injuries as it is.
No, because I think that's a cop-out.
It is a cop-out because there's always plays that could be made by players that are playing in that game. I always look at that last toss toward Khalil Shakir. Chris Jones just made a great play on Deion Dawkins on a stunt. Causes Allen to have to short-arm it. That's a touchdown. Tyler Bass misses the field goal. Well, the situation that you also set up there is if he makes it, Kansas City's got like a minute 30 left in all their timeouts when they did the same damage to you with 13 seconds and all their timeouts.
Exactly right.
And a Bills defense that was running on fumes. You would have put yourself in a bad situation regardless if he made that kick or not. But also, at the same time, you do got to make the kick. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to, like, that's a play you can look at and go, that should be made. The touchdown pass that misses to Shakir, that should be made. There are plays all throughout the game. Stephon Diggs has a drop on a deep ball. That is a play you got to make. And now in the playoffs, every mistake gets put under a microscope.
Yeah, because now, one and done. National attention all the time.
Mm-hmm. It would not look good for you if you end up going one and done here.
No, not at all.
It would look probably just as bad if you go out in the divisional round again. Because then that's your same boogeyman, no matter who the opponent. And it's also haunting if you lose to the Chiefs again in the AFC Championship. Because then it's you just can't get past the same team.
Yeah, it's not
there's,
good.
So there's a lot of potential for being burned here. There's so much more potential for being burned here based on storylines on each out. If you lose one and done, what the hell did we do all this for? If you lose in the divisional round, oh, great, it's the divisional round again. If you lose to Kansas City again, oh, it's Kansas City again. So there's an annoying, back-breaking, nauseating consequence to any way that you would lose in this postseason. Because then, ready? You lose in the Super Bowl. Oh, you just can't win in the big game. Now you're 0-5.
Yep.
So I think...
it's not good.
I hate the roadmap that has a trap... I hate the trap doors for every round. And what it says on the bottom after the door goes and like the Bills go falling through. What's it say on there? Oh, you lost in the wild card, one and done. What are we doing here? Oh, you lost in the divisional round again. Oopsies. Oh, you lost to the Chiefs again. Ha ha, Chiefs. Oh, you lost in the Super Bowl again. Ha ha, Bills. I'm going to hate every single one of these troll responses. So, I guess, I mean, obviously selfishly, but also for the sake of everyone, yeah, why not just win the whole damn thing this year, please? Let the frustrations die for a little bit. If you lose to someone else in the AFC Championship game, though, by the way, you'll have lost at home in the AFC Championship game, and that hurts. So there's a lot of pain that could be expected to come our way, to come this region's way. But also, that pain exists because this team is legitimately a good team. It hurts because there is potential. The letdown hurts because of the potential.
Right.
The letdown hurts because of the hope. The letdown hurts because of the skill.
It's that whole conversation of what was worse, the drought or this? And I'm like,
it's the drought.
It's 100%
the drought.
Because
there was an entire generation that didn't know what this felt like.
No. And this and arguably...
We are sickos.
Yeah. Yeah.
For constantly doing this.
Yep. And this
but
this
that
moment,
doesn't
though,
mean that you can't enjoy the run while you get there.
No, this moment in the playoffs, yeah, it stings if you don't make it.
Like this show, so ready? I can counter it with the hockey team that plays at 4:00.
Mm.
And it's this. I get to talk about this team having a life. I could talk about this team having a chance. And I could talk about the potential pain that they may bring to the region. But it's there for a reason. It's because you're here. It's because you're in the playoffs. And it's because you have a legitimate chance because of the roster, how it's talented, the quarterback, how talented he is, and how you're trying to put it all together.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
There is enough connected to where, yeah, I pointed out how frustrating it would be for them to lose in any potential round and the story that would come out of it. But the difference is there's a story. At the end of the day, win or lose, there is a story to be told. And that's the important part to me, is that there is a story. You want the positive, you want the most positive one, but only one team gets to do that. And I'm not saying that it's going to be an excuse. I'm not going to dismiss anything if they lose. What I am going to say, though, is it is a hell of a lot better to see a team fighting and clawing for a chance than to talk about the same old miserable franchise year in and year out.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
One last time, we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jerry, you're wrapping up the calls today here on the Sports Talk Saturday. How are you?
Oh, I better be good. A lot of pressure here. You know, for someone that's my age, again, I lived through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, all of this. The 90s were...
Oh, Jerry, I think we lost you, man. Try to call back real quick, and we'll try to get you in the last segment here, all right? So, Jerry, by all means, try to call back and reconnect with us. We'll take a break real quick. Give Jerry that chance to try to jump back in here, and we'll also wrap up Sports Talk Saturday for you. On the other side, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, on the radio home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome back. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. As promised, I tried to give Jerry a chance to reconnect here. Jerry, we got to be quick here on the clock, but let's see if the connection's a little better here for you.
Oh, way better. So.
Oh, yeah, it sounds better. There we go.
I'll be quick here. It's the shortness of winter. There's nothing worse than years when the Sabres and the Bills were both eliminated from the playoffs on December 1st. Like, these weeks... Other years we were talking about coaching changes and who to draft a quarterback. And it's just the shortness of winter things which makes the drought way worse.
Yeah, Jerry, I appreciate the call there. And again, how like you said, this show would be, if the Bills drought had existed, this show would be burn everything to the ground.
Yeah.
If the Bills and the Sabres drought were both going on at the same time, which they had
for a while,
up until 2017.
Yeah, the Sabres just said, you know, we're going to run with this a little longer.
We're just going to keep, yeah. I've got another
hold
one
my
in
beer.
Me. Yeah. I got another one in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Vince Carter meme. But but yes, I think though that it to be able to craft the stories, to be able to tell the stories, to feel the pain of it.
Yeah.
If the Bills do lose in any round, it is because there is promise and there is potential and there is something that is actually there.
I'd take that any day over an 18-year playoff
drought. That said, don't you dare lose in the first round.
No.
tomorrow against Denver.
No, smack on the wrist if that happens.
Don't do it. By the way, Sabres take on the Kraken this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Right before the NFL games start.
Right before the NFL games start, so you can get your elite Sabres Kraken action.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock. Pregame will start at 3.
Steve Foley Law.
Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 3 with Brian Koziel, Paul Hamilton, and the crew down at KeyBank Center.
The usual suspects.
The usual suspects.
Bandit-Land rolled in there last night. That would be awesome if the Sabres could repeat today. First win at home against the Kraken.
The Sabres also are 5-4-1 after the dreadful losing streak.
Aye.
So good news on the horizon, maybe.
You got to do a lot more than 5-4-1 to get that back. But
you need to be better to get that back. But you've also won a couple in a row. You strung some wins together.
They're good wins too. The most recent one, especially. Yeah.
You've won a couple games in a row. Try to get yourself out of last place in the Eastern Conference and start from there.
Yeah, and Colorado's just kryptonite. We figured that out. Can't play them.
Yep. Don't do it. Just decline.
Yep.
All right.
Forfeit.
We gotta go. Bills, Broncos tomorrow.
Playoff football.
7 a.m. I will see all y'all on the bright and early.
Yes.
The not so bright and early, actually, at 7 a.m.
Wall coverage.
The not so bright, but definitely early, 7 a.m.
Especially this time of year, not so bright. It'll be brighter soon. Days are getting longer by the day.
Yes, yes. So the potentially bright and early tomorrow. Definitely early, though. So I will see all of you again at 7 a.m. or hear from you all again at 7 a.m. Or you'll hear from me at 7 a.m. There you go.
Any of those combinations.
You'll hear from me at 7 a.m. Brian Koziel, Paul Hamilton, they'll have Sabres pregame starting for you at 3 o'clock. For Joe Cali, for Trevor Hauer, who was here for a little bit, for Evan on the board, I'm Derek Kramer. You've listened to another episode of Sports Talk Saturday. Bills and Broncos, the playoffs start tomorrow. Let's get heckin' after it.